Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Pamela Latour's Secrets of the Soul, a weekly hour of insights, increased awareness, and inspiration. Call the show at 8:15 if you would like a reading or with comments or questions. The number to call is 646-716-9663, and then press 1 on the keypad. Again, 646-716-9663. Or join the Spiritual Connections live chat. Create a username by registering with Blog Talk Radio. Secrets of the soul are the secrets we share. Thank you for sharing your soul with me. Welcome to Spiritual Connections Radio. This is episode 14. Of Secrets of the Soul, and happy Monday evening. I'm Pamela Latour, your host. We have a great show for you this evening. This show, the subject is how to be happy, which I think everyone would like. Tonight, we're going to explore the deepest aspects of our nature, reaching towards happiness and avoiding pain, and how that plays out in our daily lives. I'm hoping that I'm on the air and everything is working out. Because we had to restart the show this evening, which didn't make me very happy. And it kind of brings me to the main aspect of the concept of happiness. Because we live in such a duality, even people that are happy most of the time, happiness is generated from the inside. Happiness is not generated from what happens. In other words, bad things happen all the time. Happiness, happy people do not get their happiness from what happens to them, or nobody would be happy, because there's always good things and there's always bad things. And it's like, I've talked to so many people over the years that they're having some nice things going on in their lives, and things seem to be rolling right along, and they're not even smiling, or they're not laughing, and they're not enjoying, and they're not appreciating. And I say, why? And their answer is always the same. Well, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. In other words, they know that happiness doesn't happen without also the opposite end of that. Happiness has a two-sided coin. You know, it's happiness and unhappiness are the same thing, and they're always generated from what's outside. But saying that, let's talk about this concept of inner joy and how if you let that inner joy run the show, if you let that unbridled joy manifest in your body and in your world, things can happen. Good things happen, bad things happen. And what occurs is you ride those waves in a much easier way. Like getting cut off at 8 o'clock tonight. The studio froze on Blog Talk, so I had to shut the whole episode down and restart it at 8:30. Didn't make me that happy. I was a bit nervous about losing people that really wanted to hear the show. However, I looked at the inner joy. And when you look at the inner joy, it just flows, because you know nothing is all that important. Who was the guy that said, I think, was it Zig Ziglar or one of those old motivational experts that said, don't sweat the small stuff, and it's all small stuff. Tonight I'm having trouble with my quotes, because I've spent a whole afternoon working on trying to come up with this with a man that said this quote. It was in a book I read years ago, and the book had been loaned, and of course we never got it back. And I went through all of my books, which there's hundreds. I went through the bookcase over and over again this afternoon, the bookcases, and could not find this book. It's by a guy, I don't remember the name of the book, it's by a guy named Goldberg or Goldman or something like that. And his concept of happiness is probably the most powerful one I've heard. And if you know the name of this guy that said this, call me and tell me what his name is. Or email me if you're listening to the show later. Email me at pamlatour55@gmail.com. Anyway, this is his quote. He said, happiness is something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. Now, if you break down your life on an active level, in other words, you took away this concept of inner joy and you just said, okay, the things outside of me are what makes me happy or not. What would make you happy in that, from that perspective, is something interesting to do, something that you're passionate about, setting a goal, for example, and achieving it, some wonderful work that is fulfilling, someone to love, someone in your life, a spouse or a child or a parent, someone that you feel intimacy with, you feel connected to, and something to look forward to. If there's nothing to look forward to, what happens to you is you just sort of think the same things that you thought yesterday and the day before and the day before and the day before, and nothing changes. So you sort of slow down into a stuck state. So, I forgot to mention, you can call us. I said it on the intro, but the number to call is 646-716-9663. If you want to call me and tell me who this guy is, or you want to just add your comments or questions or anything. Gilles is helping me tonight, so call and talk to Gilles and come on the radio live. I tried to set up the live chat this last time at 8 o'clock, but it froze the studio, so we're not going to do that again tonight. So you'll have to call me if you want to talk to me. And those of you that listen to the show every day or every Monday know this, but again, during the last few minutes of the show, we do a visualized meditation. This is relaxation and insight into other dimensions of our soul. So I started talking about happiness. Happiness is something to do, someone to love, and something to look forward to. Now, that's a superficial concept of happiness. Do you remember the story about Peter Pan? And I love this story because of this one nugget of gold, this one truth, this one nugget of truth that supersedes every other imaginary concept of the story. In Peter Pan, in order for him to fly, or in order for anyone to fly, you have to think of a happy thought. You have to think of a happy thought. So I'm going to start tonight by asking you what your happy thought is. What is it that makes you really happy? When you about your life, when you think, it could be something that's happened in the past, it could be somebody that you love, that you feel connected to, it could be something you're looking forward to in the future. Whatever your happy thought is, I want you to get that in your body right now and really believe this moment. In other words, you believe it's true by feeling it as though it was happening right now. Now, I want to start the process of learning tonight with three different books. The first one is called The Joy Diet by Martha Beck. And many of you have probably heard of it before. It's a fascinating book. And I want to read something for you. You know, the part I want to read is about desire. And for a long time, I had this conflict going on in my head years ago about this concept of desire, because Eastern traditions tell you that it's not good to desire things. It's a trap to desire things. But really what that is saying that it's a trap to think about how you want something. Because when you want it, it automatically puts your attention on not having it. The duality of life, just like what I said a few minutes ago about the concept of happiness and unhappiness, the duality of life automatically throws you into the opposite polarity. So desire puts you in a position where you feel like you don't have it or you can't have it. Now, for me, my perspective is that your heart's desire, the thing that drives you, will take you to your life purpose. It'll take you to amazing experiences, wonderful journeys, and offering service that no one else on the planet can give. We are each very special, and as such, we have something that no one else can give the planet. If you do not look for your heart's desire, you never experience what it is that you were here to experience. And that's a terrible shame. And we're going to talk in a few minutes about leading an unexamined life. But right now, I want to talk about this concept of repressing your heart's desire for lots of reasons. We repress our desires because someone told you you couldn't do it, because of shame and guilt. Well, let me read you this from Martha Beck's The Joy Diet. If you believe that never letting your bad desires into consciousness will keep you from acting on them or make them go away, think again. People are much more likely to act out destructive desires if they never acknowledge their feelings than if they think through them calmly and thoroughly. My friend, the neighborhood addict, taught me over and over that the way to perpetuate an addiction is to pretend you don't want your drug. The beginning of freedom is to acknowledge that you're hooked, that you want that bad thing desperately. The failure to do this is exactly what leads to a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde pattern of denial, increasing tension and desperate, damaging release. Wanting something that's bad for you is like having a tiger loose on your property, one addict told me. If you try to handle the situation by pretending there is no tiger, by refusing to look at it, it's sure to jump out and get you sooner or later. If you want to make sure it never hurts you, you have to study it until you know what makes it tick. Then you can manage it. Now, that was another aspect of what I was saying earlier. People are afraid of their desires because oftentimes our desires take destructive routes, destructive journeys, addiction or some form of action that doesn't necessarily lead to a wonderful path, spiritual path for a person. However, by ignoring it, by avoiding it, by pushing it away and pretending it isn't there, it always ends up biting you. So, if there is something that's blocking your true heart's desire because you feel this other thing is so bad you won't look at it, you'll never end up where you want to go. It's important to examine every aspect about yourself. Leading an unexamined life ends up hurting you. The tiger ends up jumping out and getting you eventually. Now, she suggests doing three different things that I really like, and I've taught the first thing in my classes for a long time in a different form. And when I read this, I thought, oh yeah, that's exactly what I do. It's the first thing she suggests is to do nothing for 15 minutes a day. Do nothing means doing nothing. not moving your body, not thinking about anything, not feeling anything, just kind of complete rest. Now, once you've hit that level of complete rest, you can, it's important to at least once a day absorb and create and absorb one moment of truth. Now, what I mean by that is this. Two aspects of this that come to mind off the top of my head. One of them is the fact that we never ask ourselves why we feel this way, why we have that thought. Because oftentimes negative thoughts are created by fears. And if you never look at, well, why did I have that thought? What happened there? Is there a deep-seated fear under that thought? Those thoughts will end up manifesting. So when you have a thought, especially a reoccurring negative thought, stop and ask yourself, what is that about? What is that about? I need to examine that tiger to make sure that he doesn't get me. The other aspect of this truth, leading an examined life, is important. The other aspect of this truth is reading, studying, getting online and doing webinars, examining other people's perspectives of things and applying it to your own life so that you can expand. Expansion, you know, there's no static in life. You're either going, you're expanding up or you're contracting down. And you don't notice the contraction. You hardly notice either one unless your intention is there to expand. You know, when I, years ago, I was in my, in a major study mode, and I would go to, I would live in the south of France, and I would take my kids to school in the morning, and then I would go to the cafe with a book, and I would read. And I would read until I had an aha moment. In other words, absorbing that one moment of truth each day. It was either an aha moment about myself as it related to this other person's perspective, or an aha moment about, yeah, I've met people like that, or I've seen that in other people, or an aha moment about, oh, this is how I could do that better. Whatever that one little moment of truth is each day, really look for it. Look for that truth. Now, the third thing, is to offer compassion to yourself. Now, what she means by this is to say to yourself, may I be happy. I am happy. May I be well. I am well. May I be free from suffering. Because oftentimes we look at ourselves and we judge ourselves so severely that you would never judge anyone like that. You would never, especially someone that you cared about, someone that you loved. You never do that to them. So it's really important to, in order to be happy, to give yourself some slack. Wish yourself happiness. Wish yourself love. Just like you would anyone close to you. Now, let's talk about heart's desire, because heart's desire is so important, as I said, on moving you to a position of happiness, where you get to a point where you say, that's what I want. Every heart's desire takes you, even if it's not the end result, it'll take you somewhere else. So, this is her menu for desire. This is, again, Martha Beck. Establish a context of stillness. Remember, do nothing for 15 minutes a day. Get honest with yourself. You know, lead an examined life. Grab the first genuine desire that comes into your mind, no matter how trivial or grandiose it may seem. Now, explore that desire.
if the desire you've targeted isn't accompanied by feelings of openness, peace, and expanding interest, it isn't your core desire. Follow the trail you desire to find that authentic yearning. 5, let desire become intention. Begin to think of yourself as someone who doesn't just want what you want, but is going to get it. Leave the beaten path. Don't assume that you will obtain the object of your desires through normal means. Keep your mind open for unorthodox solutions. Ask a then what. Imagine what your life will be like when your desire is fulfilled. And believe that you can form your life around the fulfillment of the desire. Now, that was The Joy Diet by Martha Beck. And it's a lovely book. It inspires me to read the whole thing once again. I haven't read it in a lot of years. Now, but as we said before, repression of your heart's desire flips you to the opposite pole. In other words, we live in this electricity, this electrical polarity. And when you resist the opposite polarity, in other words, I'm trying to think of an example of your heart's desire. Let's say your heart's desire was to be on Broadway. I did a reading for someone a few months ago, and that was her desire. She was living in New York, and she wanted to be on Broadway. So your heart's desire is to be on Broadway, but there's fears there. There's fear that you might not succeed. There's fear that you might succeed and arrive on Broadway and be a flop. There's fears that, what if I'm not good enough? There's shame, there's guilt that's embedded deeply from conditioning from the past. You've got all these issues to deal with. Now, if you don't at least look at it, if you don't at least look at those fears and say, okay, I acknowledge them, I understand them, but I'm not going to create them. In other words, I'm not going to let them feel in my body. I'm not going to let them penetrate me. I'm not going to let them take me over. Instead, I'm going to focus on the opposite pole, which is success. But you see, it doesn't really work that way, because if you focus on the intensity of the happiness, you'll automatically flip to the fear. So it's important to maintain a neutrality, in other words, a preference. And we're going to get into this in a few minutes. Rather than taking one polarity, I love this, this is what I want, or a fear polarity, or I hate this, this is what I don't want, you set the two aside and you step into the middle. And you say, this is what I prefer. And in that moment, you let yourself feel the emotion of what it is that you prefer, what it is that would mean success for you, and let it completely take your body like this amazing happiness flowing through every cell. The interesting thing about happiness is that we don't resist it. In other words, if you have an experience that you don't like or a thought that makes you scared, you push away with your energy. You give it a little electrical shove. I don't like this. I don't want this. You don't let it flow through you. Where happiness, you breathe it in and you let it flow through you. There's no resistance there. And that's the important thing to understand. Because if you can move through life with no resistance, the joy that's inside would just keep bubbling up. And there would be no need to resist anything. Anything you thought about would just manifest. The only reason it doesn't is because we've got all these other blocks, these other emotional issues that we're dealing with. Now, what does your heart really want? It's important to releasing the block in your body to discover what you really want. you know, and I've had these experiences where I've been in big groups, I've been giving seminars, and I say, what do you want? And, you know, people just don't know. It's just this level of, almost this level of shame to ask for something. And they've suppressed it for so long that they just really don't know. And it's vitally important to know. Now, I want to talk about another book called Happy for No Reason. And this woman's name is Marsha Shimoff. And there's a co-writer here called Carol Klein. But the main person is Marcy Shimoff. And I think she was in The Secret, if you've seen that before. It says, Happy for No Reason, 7 Steps to Being Happy from the Inside Out. And she has some interesting things to say. Let's start by listening to the first three aspects, the guiding three principles to live by. Number one, what expands you makes you happier. And we already talked about that, this concept of the concept of expansion. Number two, the universe is out to support you. The law of universal support. Now, so many people don't believe that. They believe that life is hard and they've got to do it all themselves and there's no support. But it couldn't be further from the truth. And unfortunately, we experience what we believe in life. So if you believe that the universe is not supporting you, there will be an element of feeling alone. If you believe that the universe is supporting you in everything you think and feel, then all that's necessary to do is to examine what it is that I'm feeling right now, what it is that I'm thinking right now, what it is that I want to experience, and then get your body to believe that. Your body is your subconscious. Your body is an auto-create machine. It will create experiences based on what it believes about you, what you've told it over the years, who you believe you are, everything you think, your body believes it. I have a sign on my wall that says, don't believe everything you think. I'm trying to tell my body, don't believe that. That's not true. Just because I've had that thought doesn't mean that's who I am. And you've got to generate this experience of reprogramming this machine to tell your body who it is that you are. The third thing from Marcy Shimoff's three guiding principles is what you appreciate. It's the law of attraction. It's also this concept of gratitude. Now, accepting that being happy is up to you and that you have the ability and power to be happier by changing your habits is also this concept of taking ownership and responsibility. Oh, that's the next one. Taking responsibility, responding to all the events in your life in a way that supports your happiness. I want to read that again. Taking responsibility is responding to all the events in your life in a way that supports your happiness. Now, when I explain this concept of responsibility, people often mix it up with this concept of blame. It doesn't mean that it's your fault. I don't want to throw you into this concept of guilt and shame and blame. That's not where we're going. It is, though, this concept of power, because if you can take responsibility for the things that happen to you, you can change them much easier. There is and many of you know this already, so I'm not going to spend time on it, but I know that there's some of you out there that don't know it. So I do want to cover it briefly. There is a Hawaiian healing technique called Ho'oponopono. And for those of you that don't know it, there is a very good book by a guy named Joe Vitale, who was also in The Secret. Joe Vitale, I think his name is V-I-T-A-L-E, and he's written a book called Zero Limits. Zero Limits? I think it is. Yep. And Joe Vitale, he wrote this book about this concept of Ho'oponopono. And the concept is very simple. This Hawaiian healing technique basically says, at some level, even a primordial level, I generated this experience. Even if it was a car accident or something bad that I didn't want to happen in my life, it was a co-creation between me and the people involved in this experience. So, because I take responsibility for that, I am going to take the energy from this duality that I've created. I like this and I hate that. I'm going to take that duality, that's electrical, and I'm going to bring that electricity down to zero. And the way I'm going to do that is by saying to the universe, not to the people involved in this experience, not to anybody else. You say it to the universe, to the energy that was pulled from to create the experience. This is what you say. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Thank you. I love you. Now, you're not apologizing for anything you did wrong. I want you to understand that. What you're apologizing for is for, on a mass consciousness scale, all of us are connected. We're all the same energy. And because we're so connected, at some level, someone generated this experience, your energy as well, because we're all connected together. So if you step in and say, okay, that's my energy too, and so I'm going to step in, claim the energy as my responsibility, and bring it back down to a level of divinity where it's not split in two, right, wrong, good, bad, up, down, left, right. I hope I'm making sense, because this is such a powerful concept when it comes to happiness, because if you understand the electrical duality force that we exist in, then you don't have to ride the wave and let it smack you in the face all the time. You step back. You stay in this concept of neutrality. And you hear things on the radio, you see things on television, you read horrible things on the internet, and instead of getting emotionally wrapped up and adding energy that's already too strong of an energy in that situation, you step back into a neutral position and you say to yourself, I'm sorry, please forgive me, thank you. I love you. Hang on just a second, folks, because I just lost my computer. So I need to restart that again. I don't know what happened to it. Let's see. Try it one more time. Okay. That doesn't work. All right, so I'm out of computer here. Oh, this one is the one I'm missing.
We can't hear you.
Okay, good. You can hear me fine. So I'll just do without it. No more written script. A lot of things have gone on tonight. I don't know. So, talking about taking responsibility. I'm sorry. Please forgive me for this messy show tonight. Thank you. I love you. So let's go back to Marcy Shimoff, and we'll talk a little bit more about her concept of happiness. There's just one more thing I wanted to tell you about from this book. Happiness Habits for Empowerment. There's three things that she gives you. One, focus on the solution. Two, look for the lesson and the gift. And three, make peace with yourself. So focus on the solution, look for the lesson and the gift, and make peace with yourself. I thought that was lovely, lovely advice that I wanted to share with you. So I don't have my script, but I'll do a quick little break here anyway. I want to tell you about two things. The first one is on May 31st, I am going to be the keynote speaker at a large expo called the Whole Life Expo in Chicago, May 31st. I'm doing a workshop. That's on Friday. I think the expo goes May 31st, June 1st, and June 2nd. But I'll be speaking on May 31st from 4 to 6 in the afternoon. That's a Friday. And it's going to be at the Schomburg Convention Center in Chicago. And I don't have the address because I've lost my my other computer. But I'll give that to you next week. If you're interested in going to Chicago, or if you live in Chicago, because I've got listeners all over the place, please come and see me. The workshop is 2 hours. It's only $20. And the name of the workshop is The Power to Change Reality. It's going to be dynamite. I hope I get to see you there. The other thing that I want to tell you about is a brand new program called Soul Shifters. Soul Shifters is going to be an online, beautiful program where you can, it's a community, an online community where you can do any kind of path you choose. We're going to have lots of teachers doing lots of different paths. And we're going to kick it off on June 8th, I believe. We're going to do a free webinar, a free one-hour webinar on angels and spirit guides intro, on how to raise your vibration, connect to other dimensions, talk to your own spirit guides and your own angels, even converse with people that have passed on that love you. So that's going to be a free webinar, 1 hour. It goes from, it's on June 8th. I don't have a time yet, but stay tuned next week and we'll fill you in on that. And you can always reach me at pamlatour55@gmail.com. That's my email, pamlatour, L-A-T-O-U-R, 55@gmail.com. And I'll give you my phone number, too, because I know that a lot of people have questions about either one of those things. 813-520-8894, and you can call me anytime. Okay, let's go back to the house. Thank you.